Greetings, gentle listeners. Thank you for tuning in to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. I'll be your host today for Metro. This is Dave Ashton, continuing on with our Denver Decides series. I'm hosting city council candidate forums for different districts within Denver. So Elzbieta Kosmicki has graciously allowed me to do her Wednesday show. Elza will be back in 2 weeks for Wellness Wednesdays. And this afternoon, bringing you a special part one of a two-part series of candidate forums for CD1 candidates. Denver's City Council District 1 has no incumbent and has a very crowded field. And so this afternoon, we're going to be speaking with Scott Dura and Mike Soma. Gentlemen, welcome to KGNU.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, let's start things off. I would just give you 1 minute, and let me get out my clock here. We're going to do 1 minute to give your opening statement to say why you're running for city council. Just very basic. And let's start with Scott.
You got it. Well, hello. Good morning, everyone. My name is Scott Dura, and I am running for city council in District 1. Let's see. I have been lived in the district for 13 years. I've created 150 job opportunities in my district and 5 businesses. I've owned 2 restaurants, Jezebel Southern Bistro, and I've also have a dispensary called Simply Pure. My wife and I were the first African Americans licensed in the country. I've lived in the district and owned a home now for 13 years. I understand the importance of development, the importance of community involvement. And at this point, I'm really running because, we need someone right now, a new vision in city council for our district. We need someone who's not connected to the past administrations, someone who's going to not just listen to our voters, but actually follow up and have results. I have a 4-year plan that I've created for my district that you can see online at scottfordenver.com, which really outlines what I want to do for the district and how we're going to achieve them. It's an actual plan that we worked extensively for. So really my commitment is to making sure that Denver moves forward in the right direction and that the city, our district is represented well, and I feel that I'm that person. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Soma, 1 minute to give an opening statement. Why are you running for city council?
Hi, everyone. I'm Mike Soma. I'm running for Denver City Council District 1. I was born and raised in North Denver and have lived here my whole life. I'm running for City Council because we need a true leader representing you at City Hall. I'm not a politician. I have never worked for a politician. I do not come from a politic family. I'm just not who I am. It's just not who I am. I've been a public servant for the City and County of Denver for 34 years. I've been a Denver firefighter since 1992, currently serving as a lieutenant on Engine 17 located at 4500 Tennyson, proudly serving and protecting the citizens of Northwest Denver. I have laid my life on the line for this community because it's my community too. I want to continue serving our community from the firehouse to City Hall.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, now we're going to outline 5 priorities that you would have as a city council representative, and you will have 5 minutes for your answer. So we're going to kind of go back and forth around the bend here for who gets the first shot at it. So it's back to you, Mike Soma. 5 minutes, 5 priorities.
Five priorities. Housing, transportation, homelessness, small businesses, and accessibility to my office. Let's talk about my first one, housing. The city has a role to play in housing affordability, and we need to start playing it. Shifting some of the tax burden from residential development over to commercial development, offering tax incentives to developers who produce affordable units, developing of rental units in the range of the $800 to $1,000, and starter homes from $200,000 to $300,000 range, without raising taxes of individuals. Our city's economics is thriving, but it doesn't do us a lot of good if no one could afford to live here. Second of all, transportation. What I have come up with is a transportation system that interact with RTD and the light rail. With that being said, it's called a streetcar system. That streetcar system would interact. We could put it up and have it running within a year. And homelessness is a problem. And there's three relative things that connect to homelessness. It is opiates, alcohol abuse, and mental illness. As a firefighter, I run on this day in and day out. And what we have now, a system that is broke and is not taking care of Denverites the way we should be taking care of Denverites. As a small business, I was a small business owner, and I did not survive because of taxation, the way city treats people that are trying to come there, overburdening of taxes, and continuing to run people out into different cities or suburbs. I was that small business owner that every day, one way or another, I was affected by the city, either taxation, people coming around and harassing me because I was not on time with my payments to the city. Accessibility to the office. Right now we have a councilman that you cannot find anywhere. I will bring my office back to District 1, make it accessible for the people. The people are electing me to represent them. I need to be accessible to them 24/7. I will return a phone call to them, and I will be at numerous functions in our community. That's a quick, brief outlook of the way I see my plan going.
Thank you, Mike Soma. Scott Dura, five priorities you would have as a city council member representative, and you have 5 minutes for your answer.
Well, thank you. Once again, if you go to my website, scottfordenver.com, you'll see my four-year plan that outlines the items I'm going to be talking about. But one of the things I want to really address right now is the homelessness issue. I am truly against the camping ban for our citizens. I think it's one of the reasons why I think we need to really look at where we are with the homelessness. So that's one of the issues I want to address. You know, our current situation, this Vote 300, is not a solution. It's a Band-Aid that really does not protect our homelessness as well. I think we need to really look at what the homelessness is about, and really what we need to do is overturn the mayor's decision on the camping ban. And we need to put real solutions in place, not just something that's going to be a Band-Aid. You know, the purpose of 300 homelessness is really to decriminalize it. People should not be arrested, and that's what we should be focusing on. And then allow new city council members to work with the mayors to see if we can come up with a solution that works for everyone, not just as a Band-Aid. Another thing I like to talk about in my four-year plan is our flex transportation. Transportation is an issue in the state. It's an issue in the city, and it's an issue in our district. And one of the things we were working on is called flex transportation, where we can really start utilizing our main boulevards and our streets to get people around much more efficiently on other alternative means of transportation, whether that's the scooters, electric vehicles, golf carts, et cetera, and utilizing our streets and our boulevard to give access for most of the people in our district. Just imagine one day being able to use the Platte River, either going north, south, east, or west, and being able to get through the city on other sources of transportation that does not involve vehicles. And I like to sort of work on that with the city, and especially in our district, and getting people around our district more efficiently, so when they're parking their vehicles at home, they can get through the other neighborhoods as well. Another thing I want to talk about is attainable housing. We do have an issue with attainable housing in the city and in our district. One of the things I want to do is I want to work with responsible developers. If you basically can rent in our district, you should be able to own in our district. If you have lived in our district and own a property, you should be able to stay there. And that needs to be developed, worked on by having relationship with developers. Bring in responsible developers in who want to work with us. We can have situations where if you own a home, you should be able to have a right to partner with a possible developer to see if you can stay in your property versus being bought out. Why not create a 3 or 4 unit on the property that you own, partner with that developer, retain one of those units, keep some of the money in the bank, and stay, be able to maintain and stay in our district. So I want to really create those relationships with developers. Another thing we want to talk about is small businesses. I am a small business owner. I've owned a small business since the age of 12. Like I said, as I've had five businesses, two restaurants in our district, creating 150 jobs. So I understand the importance of small businesses. I also understand the importance of the diversity of small businesses throughout our district. It's what makes North Denver special. And my thing is to give the small businesses in our area a stakeholder position so they're involved with some of these developments and not just shut down. Because that is the character and that's the economic strength that's in our district, and I want to maintain that. And with my experience as a small business owner and working with the city and with the state, I'm sure I'll be able to lead this district in a very positive way. One of the other items I want to talk about is community engagement. It's very important that we strengthen our communities in our district, because with strong communities, you have a stronger city council member. And right now, what I do see is there's a disconnect between our communities and city council, especially our present city council, where we're not getting the answers. They've let us down. Our city council member Rafael has stepped down because he said he hit a wall. He has not created the relationships that's necessary to be able to connect our district back to City Hall. So that's one of the things I want to sort of address in terms of community development. We've lost a lot of community. We've lost a lot of touch with City Hall, and a lot of that falls back on the community plan that I want to work on. So those are some of the issues that I want to address. But once again, is also we need to make sure that we oversee our developers. We have a lot of developers out of control right now, and I've also worked with the Public Works Department already. I've brought them to my community to help out with development issues. So we need to hold the developers accountable, more oversight, more making sure that they're following the rules and not inconveniencing our residents. And those are four out of the items with homelessness that you can see on my four-year plan online and read a little bit more about that.
Thank you, Scott Dura. Okay, so next up, we're going to have a series of questions. These are going to be 2 minutes apiece, if you would care to limit your remarks to 2 minutes. And we're going to come back around. Scott Dura, how specifically would you tackle affordable housing in Denver?
Affordable housing is a big issue. I mean, I like to call it attainable housing. Affordable housing sort of gives a title to it. I think what we really need to do is, how do we keep people in our city, people who work in our city, people who are city workers, civil workers, to be able to live in the city? And a lot of that comes with a bigger plan. Right now, we're working with a lot of developers that are not actually meeting their goals. We have to create incentives for developers to be able to build these affordable housing, attainable housing, for the people in our community and for the people in our district. And that comes with new relationships. Once again, is when you're looking at developers and what developers want to do, there are a list of developers who are dying to come in here and be responsible. We need to find those responsible developers and have city funds that's going to work with them to make sure that we have the number of affordable units and attainable housing in my district and in the city that's going to accommodate the future needs of those people who want to be part of Denver. So it really comes along with really building the relationships and finding new responsible developers who are willing to work with city council, my district, and the mayor's office to make sure that happens.
Thank you. Mike Soma, how would you tackle affordable housing in Denver?
Affordable housing keeps going back to the developers. I think we've lost contact with that developer. We're letting them run the city. We need to turn the tables and let the city run the developers, engage with the communities. There's a lot of homes that I see that are beautiful homes that we're not thinking. We have to have common sense thinking, not scraping, but let's try rebuilding some of these. Right now, with that, we have luxury apartments, numerous luxury apartments that stand empty that people cannot afford, but yet we don't have low rent or sustainable rent items for everybody. What I would also look at is I would look at for city employees, school teachers, a kind of a tax base or loan type thing from the city that we could maybe offer them a lower interest rate on these places. And as my other opponents have stated, that while they're renting there, when they go to condemn that property or change them out, that maybe they offer them up something that they could move them into a different facility.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Now we're going to go to what is your position on ballot initiative 300, the Right to Survive initiative? And Mike Soma, we're coming back to you. 2 minutes.
Thank you. 300 is not the answer to this issue. 300 is a Band-Aid to a severe, deep wound. Being a civil servant, I see this day in and day out. What we do is we put them in a system that is not working. What we shuffle them from one place to the other, and they're back on the streets the next day. What I have proposed, and I believe I'm the only candidate has proposed this, is to kind of follow what San Antonio's doing by having a homeless. They went private, public, created 22 acres, 30 agencies, food, job, training, childhood, and they have taken thousands of people and put them in permanent housing, and 5,000 others are waiting for temporary housing at this time. As I was taught growing up, if you try something and it does not work, why do we keep dumping money into that? And as stats show, it is cheaper to do the right thing with these homeless people than it is to just keep throwing money away on these individuals.
Thank you. Scott Dura, what is your position on 300, the Right to Survive ballot initiative?
Well, the most important thing is I am 150% against the present camping ban. No one should be arrested whatsoever for the right to survive and to keep warm and on our streets and safety. But I do think we have a lot of concerns with 300. Basically, it does not address the bigger issue. It does not take people off the street. It does not provide solutions to jobs, job placement, homes. It just doesn't provide that. And I think what we need to do is really take a step back and really look at what is the solution, not just another Band-Aid, as Mike stated, or as we've all stated, but what is the solution moving forward? And the present solution on the table is not going to address the problem. We have mental health issues. We have those who are on the street that can be put back in society. So when you look at all those things in terms of a solution, what's on the table right now is not a solution. Just another way for the city to hide behind a problem. And once again, is allow city council, the new people to come in there, to bring in new ideas. We have to say no when something doesn't work and start fresh, not just build off a crack foundation. And I think, you know, 300 is a crack foundation that is not going to resolve problems, that's going to create more problems and divide us more in terms of how to deal with our homelessness.
Thank you, Scott Dura. So what is your position on the psilocybin ballot initiative, Scott?
As you know, I'm the first licensed African-American in the country to own a dispensary. Excuse me. And, you know, I got into it strictly for social justice. And one of the things I will say that the same thing with the mushroom issue as well is that it's about social justice. No one should be locked up today for a plant-based solution to health problems. It just can't happen. We did it in the cannabis industry, and we need to be strong as well. If there is any type of medical benefit that's going to help us and get us off prescription drugs, opioids, et cetera, we need to be open to that. But most importantly, you should not get arrested like for cannabis and like homelessness for a right to bring a plant-based solution for a health issue. This is about decriminalization is what we're talking about here, folks, not legalization, decriminalizing people getting arrested. And like with cannabis, black and brown people were getting arrested because of cannabis. This is going to affect other groups who are going to get arrested. And we have to protect them. There's no reason to be arrested for something that's plant-based, that has medicinal benefits, and takes us off of opioids. PTSD this helps with. Those types of things for our veterans. We have to take a step back, be smart, be responsible, and making sure that people do not get arrested because they're trying to live a better, cleaner, and healthier life.
Thank you. Mike Somo, what is your position on the psilocybin ballot initiative?
Locking up fewer people is definitely good. So decriminalizing could be a good step. But I haven't decided how I'll vote. Unfamiliar with it. I just read in the Denver Right this morning that it does. There was an incident in there with a former West Point person that stated that it's helping him get back in life. Now, if that's the situation and we're going to have more tests and I see more data on it, I'm all in favor of pursuing that because ultimately we want to take care of our people, not put them in jail. That doesn't do anything but crowd jails.
Thank you. All right, now we're going into some free-form questions here, as we just have two candidates this afternoon. We have some time to get into some additional questions. So given that there's no incumbent in CD1, what do you feel is going to be the deciding factor in this election for city council? Often, you know, favor goes to the incumbent. What do you feel like is going to tip the scales in this incredibly packed and talented race for CD1 in Denver? Mike Soma, we're going to come back to you because we're kind of going back and forth.
I believe that a new face is what we're looking for in Council District 1. As I stated in my opening statement, someone that is not a politician, someone that has never been in politics or in that office. All I see is a trail of dust or remnants of things that have occurred from people in the past. I think what Council District 1 is looking for, new faces, new ideas, moving forward. We're building new houses, but we're building them too fast. And the constituents that I have spoken to, they're in favor of it, but they want to have a voice, and I believe their voice is not being heard. So starting fresh is good for all of us. So that's what I believe will change District 1.
Scott Durow, what do you think is going to be the deciding factor in this race?
I think there's a few things. The first thing is, and Mike and I have been talking about this, and many of the people running, is we need the truth. You know, what's been happening in our district is a shame. We have a lot of fighting going on. We have separation. We have communities not getting along. You know, we have a really unhappy situation with our present city council member. I mean, one of the things I think is really important is for everyone to understand that our present city council has openly come out publicly and has stated that, you know, his intentions are to support a candidate and then to have that candidate hire him as a consultant. And that is not right. And that's what's going on right now, and this has been spoken about publicly. We have a city council member who has attacked many of us who are running and attacked us on principles when he can't even stand up to those principles. We have a city council member who yells and screams at people at events, and that's the leadership that we have right now. So anyone who has been attached to that city council should not be the person that we put forward. Anyone who has been part of the last two city council people, whether it's Susan Shepherd or it's Espinoza, should not have that opportunity because they were part of what has not worked. That's the problem. For new change, you got to step out the box. For new change, you have to have someone who's going to build relationships, new relationships, not be supported by big developers and part of big developers. Look at your candidates. Ask yourself, developers are a problem. So what candidate is running for re-election and who is backed? Almost majority of her donations have come in for developers. We need change. We need change now. And I think that change is going to come with someone who thinks out the box, someone who's not tied to big developers, someone who's a small business owner, someone who has owned a home, someone who's going to fight, someone who's has the military experience as I do and the leadership, who's going to say no and challenge the system, but always making sure that he's representing the community, not his or her opinion, but representing the opinion and the voice of our district, and that's going to be me. That's what we need for new change to be able to take our district forward.
Thank you. So now looking even with a larger lens, we'll just do a 1-minute answer. What structural changes would you recommend slash do you believe that the city's strong mayor system needs any changes? 1 minute, please, and we'll come back to you, Scott Durow.
I think we need to really look at the power of what the mayor's office has in terms of the power, and that a lot of that power needs to go back to city council. I think we have to look at as well as community base. You know, what we've lost here, and you hear this around the city and throughout the district, is no one cares anymore about communities. We're not having a voice. We have a mayor's office, and we have city council members who are just sort of going along with protocol. No one is saying no. We have a city that's thriving and booming, but yet we have a homelessness issue. We have money. We need to take care of people that basically made the city great. We need to go back to where the people are represented by the districts and that their voices are being heard. We need someone who's going to say no to the mayor, no when there's something crazy going on, and make sure that the public understand what is going on in our city. And that'll be me. You have to have someone who's willing to step up, challenge the system, come up with new solutions, new ideas. I will be the only person sitting on city council who actually owns a business. That's why we need change, and that's why I think I'm that person to do that.
Okay. Mike Soma, same question. What structural changes do we need, and do you think that the strong mayor system is serving the city well?
Absolutely not. What I'm seeing for the last 10 years, I represented Denver Firefighters Local 858. I was at every city council. All I see was a rubber stamp. Nobody has a voice to talk. They're scared of they might be reprimanded for what they speak out against. What we need is, as we're talking, new faces, new changes. I have been a leader for 34 years in public safety. I bring that leadership back to the community, allowing the community to talk and me listening to them and bringing their voice back to city government. And it's time to stop all of this as we state transparency that is not transparent.
Thank you. Now we just have 1 minute apiece for closing statements, and please give out your contact information. Mike Soma, it's on you.
Okay. Closing statement. Once again, I'm Mike Soma, and I want to serve you at City Council. As a first responder, I have seen between the parts of life that politicians see. I have been in your homes. I have been called into your lives at a moment's notice, often in the worst circumstances, and we have gotten through the circumstances together. For the last 34 years, you have trusted me to protect you, your family, and your property. Now I hope to protect you in City Hall by being your eyes, ears, and voice. I have never been a politician, but I have always been a Denverite. It's time for a change in District 1. It's not time for politics as usual. Let's start fresh. Vote Mike Soma on May 7th. You could go to my website, Soma for Denver District 1.
Thank you. Scott Dura, 1 minute, closing statement and contact information.
Well, the first thing we're going to say is you can go to my website, scott4denver.com. I'm number 7 on the ballot. That's lucky number 7 on the ballot. They went out yesterday. Please go to those ballots, make those decisions. And also, what am I running on? I'm running because I'm going to bring truth back. I'm going to bring leadership back. I'm going to make sure that the communities are well represented, the small businesses are well represented, that our city has a voice that's going to say no to the mayor's office and no to other city council members when things are not correct, when we need to make change. I have a military background. I am about leadership. I understand the voice and how to make a community strong. I've done that most of my life. And I'm willing to do that for the next 4 to 8 years, whatever it takes to change the city around. I am that candidate who's going to speak out, make sure your voice is heard, and be the one that says no more than yes, because that's what we need. Someone with new ideas, thinking out of the box, and has leadership qualities, leadership skills, and not just saying it, that it's actually has done it most of their career. Go to my website, scottfordenver.com. Check me out. You will see that I'm as experienced and have that diversity and the passion to move this forward. Number 7 on the ballot, May 7th, Scott Dura, City Council, District 1. Thank you for your time, everyone.
Thanks for listening, KGN. Folks, we will be doing part 2 of the CD1 candidate forums tomorrow, Thursday, from 3 to 3:30 p.m. We want to thank Praj Kulkarni, who could not make it here this afternoon, but definitely was interested, unavailable though. Had to work, and these are real folks with real jobs in real time. So thank you for putting yourselves out there in this race, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you, and thank you for accommodating us and making this all happen. Truly appreciate it, brother.
Yes, thank you.